The Spanish announce table.
Tom, another wild week of wrestling, man. What? Give it all to me. Your thoughts. Sum it up right now. 10 seconds. Go.
Content over storylines, and it wasn't that great leading into a pay-per-view that should be better, but it's in an era during PG when it should be in an era of the Attitude.
4.79 seconds. We don't fact check. All right, Tom. How was your week?
I think that's the show.
Yeah.
No, that's I think it. That's the show. Yeah. Man, all right.
Yeah, never mind. Fuck your week. I don't care.
Yep. Yeah. Have a great week, guys.
Later, guys. Bye. How was your week? All right. We'll get back into this series. I know everybody's been waiting to see us. They love us.
Yeah.
They've been asking where we are. We're here.
Yep.
So
first off, let's get into your week. I want to hear your week. Then we'll get into my week.
Okay. What my week? Oh, you want to go into my week? Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies first.
Thanks. I started a new job, as we kind of discussed getting into that. Yeah, guy I was working alongside with for a couple of days here, showing me some of the ropes around there. A friend of Antonio Martinez, who we've talked about on this show. A friend of yours through the fighting world. And
he's my cousin.
Oh, that's right.
Did you know that?
Your cousin.
Yeah,
that's
he's my cousin.
Right. That's right. He is your cousin. So there you go. Doing that, and it seems well. And Tom, okay, already. I was walking into this with a better base pay, better bonus, better 401k, better medical, better PTO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no overtime, you know, aside from occasional whatever, where I was doing like 55 to 60 at the last place, right?
Right.
Going into that, and I show up first day, I'm nice, I got my slacks, right? Got my collared shirt, got my shoes, and everybody's in jeans, right? Everybody's in jeans. It's Monday. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like this, right? And he was like, yeah. He was like, totally, man. Jeans. He's like, you'll see people in T-shirts. I'd like to see you in a collared shirt if I could, right? And I'm like, oh, of course, right? Yeah, absolutely. I could do that. And he was like, jeans. He's like, hey, hot days in summer, we're wearing shorts, just not like jean shorts or basketball shorts or something. Just wear like some Docker shorts or something. And I was like, I almost kissed him on the mouth, Tom.
Wouldn't have been the first time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good
yeah, HR
isn't
was there,
sad?
So I didn't do it.
Yeah, you know? Isn't that sad though? Like, I'm glad for you, right? Like, that's all great. But I'm talking more about the attire that, like, you just can't wear what you want,
right?
Because,
oh, I know.
Now,
yeah.
Quick question though: are you customer facing? And
no.
And what I mean by that, for people who don't know that terminology, are you working with customers face to face?
I am not. No. Nope.
Then why does it matter what you're wearing? I've never understood that. I understand in the sense of if I'm customer facing. So I want to say, like, we are professional. We are, you know, A class, you know, business. And so that's why I wear the best ties and the best business suits. I get that, right? But if you're not customer facing and you don't wear offensive things to where your coworkers are saying, like, hey, I hate that shirt. Why are you so offensive to fill in the blank, right? If you're not doing that, what does it matter? I've never understood that. I've never understood.
Yeah,
luckily,
I don't understand
like
either.
You, I have a job where I can wear pro wrestling t-shirt. Well, my job is a little bit more lenient. I can wear pro wrestling t-shirts. Friday is Fanny Pack Friday, where I wear my WWE Championship belt fanny pack. I made that up. That's a me thing. I do a lot of fun stuff at work because I'm allowed to. However, it just feels like, shouldn't you be able to?
Yeah, right.
You know?
You would
hey,
you,
like the whole you look good, you feel good. Well, guess what? If you're comfortable, you do good.
Right. Yeah. I've always said that. I've said that. I was like, guys, you're telling me that the choice of fabric of my pants suddenly makes me more professional. Right? Like, that's what we're saying here, because I could wear everything. Like, I could wear my collared shirt. I could wear some nice, you know, tennis shoes. I could always do that with slacks. But boy, if I put on a pair of jeans, it's like, really, Tim?
Yeah. Oh, you are just such a piece of trash. I don't think now you have the capabilities to perform your job.
Furthermore, like, I hear you, like you kind of mentioned if you're customer facing, right? Like, I get it, right? Well, I kind of even don't, because 90% of these customers are going to give a shit less if you're in jeans or slacks either. Like, especially in what I do, I'm like, nobody's gonna get, like, they're coming in already.
I'm thinking more of, for example, if for whatever reason, I was going to buy a Rolex or a Tesla, and you're wearing local football team t-shirt with jeans that, you know, obviously haven't been washed in a couple days. That kind of seems shady.
Yeah.
Maybe this watch isn't legit. Now, right. I'm not saying, like, don't, you know, obviously you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you know what I'm saying? If I'm walking into a Rolex store and they're all wearing money, you know what I'm saying? I have a little bit more confidence of, hey, then obviously, now maybe I'm getting conned, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I have a little bit more confidence that, like, this Rolex is legit. This store is not a Breaking Bad storefront for money laundering. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, and I totally get all that. So, yeah, no, I think I'm going to enjoy it here. It sounds a
good
little more relaxed.
You.
But, yeah, I'm really going to start getting into not relaxing that. You know what I mean? It's a little more like, hey, we're trying to do work here. We're not really concerned about your pants.
Right? Yeah. Performance over attire.
Right. So I went to a daughter's choir concert tonight. They had the high school, you know, winter choir performance. That went well, and that's why we're getting started late on this show, and everybody's a little sleepy, so we might be rushing through this one because we're like, you know what, man, I had a long day, and let's get this done.
I agree. Yeah, well, good. How was the recital performance? I don't know what you call them.
You know, this choir teacher she's got knows how to put on a show, man. Like, it's always entertaining. There's things going on, there's moving parts, there's a theme. It's always like, and I'm always leaving there at these things, I'm like, that was impressive. I'm pretty impressed. Yeah.
Well, good. Right. Glad you had a good time. Did she have a good time?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, she had a blast out there. Except I think there's like, with both of my kids' schools right now, both of them, they're 30 minutes apart, like a 30-minute drive apart from each other. Both of them, in as many days, in 2 days, have had to have extra police presence on site because of school shooting threats made on social media that had to be investigated. Like, in one of the schools, the kids got arrested.
Good.
Yeah, good. But and my daughter's sitting here telling me, she's like, yeah, the kids are, you know, very bullied. And I'm like, hey, why are you kids still doing that? Like, do you not see the news? Why are you, like, leave the troubled kid alone? Like, let him, whatever. I guess it'll never change.
What's that? What'd you say? I was going with the bully thing, and I wanted to go on a tangent, but this is a pro wrestling podcast.
Well, I was just saying,
podcast.
I guess it'll never change. And it's a pro wrestling podcast. We don't got to get too much into it. But yeah, so that was interesting. The whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, I hope nobody comes in here and shoots this place up right now, which is a thing we have to think about nowadays.
You know, one thing that irritates me is these fucking losers, though, get on social media, and they pop off at the mouth, or I guess on the keyboard, with no ramifications that they're going to get punched in the mouth. That's one thing that really irritates me with social media. You wouldn't talk to me the way you do on Twitter, Facebook, fill in the blank, if me and you were face to face. And I'm not saying me as in, oh, I'm Thomas, tough guy Thomas. I'm saying just general other person. And so the bomb threats, well, of course it's easy to do bomb threats. You know why? Because I'm in the safe security of my walls, and I can type whatever I want and hit send with, you know, now you might investigate me, yada, 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 but then I can encrypt and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, and these poor kids have to – your daughter who had the bomb threat probably just was like, yep, this is part of life.
This is what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So sad. Anyhow, but this isn't that podcast. Yes, this isn't Tim and Tom.
Right.
Well, good. What else? Was that your kind of week in a nutshell?
That was pretty much it, you know, because, you know, the prior week I had still some time off, so we were just kind of doing stuff around the house and hanging out, and then started the new job. That's kind of been the focus of the last couple of days, you know, and then other than
I'm happy for you.
Christmas coming and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. Christmas is coming. Well, I'm happy for you. Are you done with your Christmas shopping real quick?
No.
Oh, I am. I'm done.
Really? What'd you give me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got you that one thing.
Yeah, you're like, actually, I'm not done. I was just thinking. I forgot something for another friend.
No, I got you
friend.
That one thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I got you the one thing. Mm. That Daniel Bryan book.
Oh, yeah, that's mine. That's right.
Yeah.
That is mine. Apparently I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, sure.
You know
sure
what? Now. You know who I blame in this situation really is Daniel Bryan. If he were a more entertaining author, maybe I would have had the book done by now.
It's a good book.
It is a good book, and I'm just kidding. I'm just like, I keep like, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna read, and then I never read. I just don't like it's sitting there. It's like I see that book every day, like it's in it right there every day, and I'm like,
there it is every day.
Daniel Bryan, Tom's a good friend. All right, Tom, what did you do besides lament that you loaned me a book once?
I tell you what, I was with the styling, profiling, limousine riding, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun, 16-time world heavyweight champion, one of the greatest of all time, considered a pop culture icon since the 1980s, an influence in all genres of entertainment,
and
sports,
his name is John Cena.
Oh.
No? You said 16-time world champion.
However, John Cena related note, the movie of the year, because as longtime listeners of the podcast know, on Christmas, we don't do gifts on my mom's side. What we do is see a movie. This year's movie, Bumblebee. John Cena is the villain in that, apparently.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard really good things. But no, I hung out with Ric Flair, damn it.
That's awesome. That is cool.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you this real quick story again, because we're recording this late. We want to go to bed. Tim's got two kids and now a new full-time job. He's trying to impress and be alert.
Yeah, I'm employed
for his first week of job. Yeah. And so I'll tell you quickly how it was. So I went to an autograph signing of Ric Flair. I got there about 11:15. It started at noon. I was one of the first few. I was like probably 10 to 12.
So he wasn't annoyed. By the way,
after I left, and I'm not exaggerating this number, there was probably 200 to 300 people behind me. It was insane. I think they thought like, oh, this place, which was called ADA Fundraising and Sports Memorabilia, it was a little store. I think other people thought like, well, no one really knows about this, so I'll just show up at noon. You know, no, you never do that, especially with a pop culture icon and considered one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Ric Flair. Yeah. You don't do that. So anyhow, let me tell you about
the experience. Besmirch the name of Ric Flair by showing up late.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So let me tell you about the experience. So we're waiting, yada, yada, yada. Ric Flair's there, right? Doors open. I see him. I'm like, holy shit. There's fucking Ric Flair. Like, that was my first thought. Yeah. I was like, it's really going to happen.
Because
honestly, going into it, even when I bought the tickets last week when we were recording the podcast, I had this feeling deep down that, you know, because of his 30 for 30 and things like that, I was like, he's not going to show up. He's going to call in sick, do something. Sorry, guys. Under the weather. I'm 69 years old. You get it, right? So I never really thought it was going to happen. But anyhow, doors open. There he is. Holy shit, right? So people are going. It's kind of, I'm like in a little bit of a daze because I'm like, I'm really going to fucking do this, right? Get up there. Guy before me could not have been a dumber motherfucker in the world. So what you got, if you paid for it, was two options, either just an autograph or an autograph and a photo, right? Okay. This guy did the autograph and the photo. But for the autograph, it was his son's 18th birthday or, you know, double-digit birthday, right?
Right.
And he said, hey, Rick, can you write learn to love it or learn to leave it? And Ric Flair's manager was like, no, man, that's like way too much stuff. And Rick's like, no, I can do it. And then the guy goes, because that's what you said, right? And it was me and maybe – oh, it was this couple behind me. And we both look at each other like, he's never fucking said that. Rick, being just the sweetheart guy that he was, and he really was, just goes, well, I mean, that's what I tell my ex-wives. And he just starts to write it. Like, you know, but it just set this weird, awkward thing. And so, like, I'm thinking while I'm standing there watching this guy make Ric Flair sign a fucking phrase that he's never said in his life. I'm like, this is going to fucking ruin it. I'm going to get there, and he's just going to be like, this is a fucking mistake that I came, right?
And then this dumb-faced bastard walks up after him. Right.
So I'm wearing my pink Ric Flair shirt, which if you're a longtime listener, you know I've worn in the past when I tried Stone Cold Steve Austin's IPA and New Day's Bootios together. I wore that shirt, if you guys remember that video.
Meaning the milk, quotes, was Steve Austin's IPA.
Yeah. And the cereal was
in the cereal. And that good. I like it. You got about 2.5 bites of, I think, before you quit.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah
it sucked. Anyhow, so I'm wearing that shirt, right? So this guy, this jack wagon, he does his stuff and he takes off, right? And so then I'm walking up and he goes, "Nature Boy." And I was like, "Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. He likes this shirt. Okay. All right. We're in it. Cool. It's back on track, right?" So I shake his hand. First off, getting, as close as I was to him, bigger than I thought. Bigger hands, broader shoulders.
Big dude.
I didn't think he was as big as he was, right?
Especially even at this age. He's probably way smaller than he was. Like, he was a big
guy. Right, than he used to be, right? So I shake his hand. I go to the side of him. He goes, "Who am I making this out to?" I said, "Thomas." And I go, "And by the way, you don't have to write any of that dumb shit you just did." And he laughed. And I was like, "Yeah. The fuck that was." And I didn't say that part. But I did say, "You don't have to write any of that dumb shit you just did."
But if you could say, "This is Ric Flair and you're listening to the Spanish Announce Table," that would be cool.
Well, I thought about it. I thought about it. But
you can't ask for Ric Flair that.
The local sports radio station, they had like a booth that was kind of adjacent to where he was sitting. So there was commotion. It wasn't just how when we met Mick Foley, it was just us, right? It was a little bit more of an event.
And it's Ric Flair. I mean, Mick Foley was a bit of, I was like, man, we're bit out of line for asking this, but here we go, right? We gotta ask.
So he signs a thing, and then they did a professional photo, but then they also allowed me to take a photo with my mobile phone. So that kind of made a weird photo. You can't really tell unless you really like zoom in, I think, and like look at our eyes, but we're kind of looking at two different cameras, you know, which is fine. I mean, it's fine, right? And I know, so it's not like it was ruined. So anyhow, he goes, "Thank you so much." And I go, "Thank you so much for coming." And I had taken my coat off because it was a little warm. So I took my coat off and I set it next to the door. So as I shook his hand, took the photo, I was walking around to then go grab my coat. The couple behind me I was talking with, you know, leading into meeting Ric Flair and getting to know each other because, you know, you're standing next to each other for 30 minutes, right? And they're like, you kind of tell they're little parties, right? Like, they liked Motley Crue. I think they met Nikki Six, you know? So they're the 80s, like, let's party, right? So anyhow, as I'm grabbing my coat, the girl of the couple says, you know, "Hey, we should go get drinks." And he goes, "Oh, I love the West End." And he goes, "Ah, no, West End. That isn't right. And I just blurt out, "Westport?" He goes, "Yeah, Westport." And I said, "I live there. I'll take you anywhere you want." And he giggled. He's like, "Oh, brother." You know, I don't know if he said brother. Maybe that's just me making it up. But he gave me that Ric Flair giggle. You know that Ric Flair, you know?
Right.
And so he gave me that. And he kind of looked at me. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to fucking beg him, right?
So here's my number.
I knew the guy that was working the 810 remote. It was Stephen St. John. So I walked over there, shook his hand. He's like, "This is cool." I was like, "This is fucking awesome," right? Then as I was talking to him, the owner of the ADA fundraising like came up. And I was like, "Is this the first time you guys have ever done like pro wrestler or anything?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, and I was like, "It's actually really good turnout." He goes, "Yeah, I think we're going to do Hulk Hogan next." I go, "I'll be here for that one too." then I left. That was it.
Hey, we got to get in on this somehow. You know these guys.
Yeah.
You worked there. And so, your former alumni, Tom. That's what that means. Owner, your alumni.
Yeah. The owner of the ADA fundraising said that they're going to bring in
Hulk Hogan. I gotcha.
Yeah, that's who said it. So anyhow, then I get to my car, and like I said, there were 200 to 300 people in line. So just backing up and not hoping that you're going to hit a 10-year-old or, you know, some old guy that remembers watching him win the title at Memorial Hall, you know, one of those people. So that was a little bit of fun. But yeah, so I did that. And then that was about it. That was probably the highlight. I won't get into other details, but I met Ric Flair. It was cool. We shared a laugh. We had a firm handshake. We shared a picture. He signed an autographed photo of himself. It was cool. I got it framed.
He signed his own face.
Yep.
Right?
No, he signed next to it. Well, he didn't sign on his face.
I get you. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
It was great. I had a blast. I hope they do the Hulk Hogan one soon, because now I just want to get into it. All right. Boom, 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 boom. Let's do it. Because we met Jake the Snake. Boom. I've met Ric Flair. End of the 2018, I'm meeting all of them.
Hulk Hogan might be more likely to take you up on your offer to take him around Westport.
I might.
Just knowing Hulk Hogan, he'd be like, "All right, brother, let's go right now. You buying?
Now,
you're buying, right?"
Yeah. Like, now, for fans of the show who are also sports fans, to give you an understanding of how infamous Westport is, I recommend to you watching the 30 for 30 about former heavyweight champion Tommy Morrison, who lived in Kansas City, and how he had the most destructive ways possible to end his career, essentially, in Westport. And that's where I live. And so that can tell you about the demons that can exist, or the partying, or the fun, however it affects you, that happens in Westport.
I've had a lot of
fun.
So watch
the 30 for 30.
But I try to go there and then leave.
Yeah. Yeah, you try to go and get out.
Right. I don't try to hang
around. You don't
want to
become the Westport bar scene, because then it will take you.
Right. Yeah, I come down. We go dancing sometimes at the Missy B's. Right. We may go hit the karaoke nearby. Right. What's some other things down there that we run in and out of? But
Kelly's. Westport Inn,
yes.
The Beer Kitchen.
Yep.
McCoy's just closed down. They're going to close down on December 23rd. Mm. That's sad. That's an institution that's been around for 25 years. Again, this is a pro wrestling podcast. But yeah, what I was saying, Ric Flair loves Westport. If you want to get a little bit more detail about the city that I live in, watch the 30 for 30 about Tommy Morrison. It gives you more detail about what Westport can do to you. Anyhow, hey, you ready to get into some news?
Let's do it. Let's do some news.
While we're rolling into some stuff, I'll go first. So, as you know, this is the Spanish Announce Table 2.0. We're trying our best to not give you the rumor is Dean Ambrose had a rolled ankle, and so he won't be at the next pay-per-view, and they're going to do this, and that's why the storyline is blah, blah, blah. We're trying not to do that, right? However,
correct.
There is a pretty popular pro wrestler that had a health scare, and we feel like we will share that with you. So, Big Cass, unfortunately, collapsed and suffered an apparent seizure at the last House of Hardcore event. House of Hardcore, obviously ran by Tommy Dreamer, ECW legend. There is video. If you want to see that video, go ahead. I'm not going to, but it is out there. Apparently, he suffered the seizure in the lobby. So fans were seeing, Big Cass apparently having a medical scare with the seizure.
Yeah.
Now, with all that being said, it was released, I think, a couple days later that Tommy Dreamer said, he's doing fine. Everything should be back on track soon. But, he's probably going to take it easy. He also said that this was not a work. This was real. This wasn't a let's get House of Hardcore over and then we'll get some sympathy on a baby face. No, it wasn't any of that. It was a real event. So, again, Big Cass released recently from the WWE, doing the independent shots, and unfortunately suffering a seizure at the House of Hardcore event.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, that's a rough one. For people that are in like a performance aspect, or they're somehow living their life on the stage, as it were, right, or the television screen. When you have those medical scares like that, it can be unfortunate because it's out there in front of the whole world to see, or Poughkeepsie or whatever, wherever you happen to be at the moment. So it adds a tinge of, no matter what, some sort of, and needlessly, some kind of almost embarrassment. It adds insult to injury, as it were, even though there's nothing you can, like everybody understands and knows, but it's just like nobody really likes that being out on blast. So that's kind of unfortunate for Big Cass.
And again, some of these, I don't know what we're calling them anymore, dirt sheet websites or fill in the blank, the weird news of pro wrestling websites sharing a video, I think, is tasteless. I think you should obviously take that down.
Yeah.
I understand you want clicks, you want this, blah, 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 but come on. I mean, someone's suffering a medical scare and you're going to say, let's record it. It's good to see, though, that he is back into at least a little bit better health. So hopefully he can get it together. This is end of 2018, has not been the greatest. So hopefully, the year is ending here soon so he can turn around for 2019 and get back on his feet. But
because remember, have some, 19 days left as of this recording, Big Cass, if you're listening. And I know you are. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. You say you're Theo on Twitter, but I know it. Listen, why not? Yeah. So, it's 2018. You got 19 days left. It's the year of the new idea. You got time to replace those other ideas you were doing, because these are not
get back
good
on track.
Ideas. Yep. New ideas. 2018, new idea. And then you'll roll into 2019, which we'll figure out what that year is here coming up in 2019.
It'll come.
Yeah, you can't.
What do you got for us?
Can't force it. All right. I'm going to read the bullshit story of the week, Tom.
Oh, all right. Cool new feature on the Spanish Announce Table.
Stop me when you smell bullshit, okay?
Okay.
USADA says
Right there, stop.
USADA says glitch led to inaccurate data on Brock Lesnar drug test. This is reported by allwrestling.com. I'm going to read it straight off their website, right? Since we gave them a plug, why not? The rumor mill went to work earlier this week after drug testing data on WWE Universal Champion Brock Lesnar went missing from the United States Anti-Doping Agency, otherwise known as USADA. ESPN reports that USADA has acknowledged that a recent technical glitch led to the inaccurate data. An update made back in mid-October showed Lesnar had submitted 6 drug tests in 2018, but that number was recently changed to just 5 tests. USADA stated that the original update was flawed, and the current figure reflects the accurate number of tests Lesnar has submitted in 2018, 5. ESPN added that it appears Lesnar was the only athlete affected by the glitch. Yeah, something didn't happen to that 6th test, did it?
USADA is a front for a low-level, stupid Ponzi scheme just to get money out of athletes. USADA is the biggest joke in organized sports. It's worse than having, Manfred as your commissioner in baseball. It's worse than having Roger Goodell put sanctions on players on their, extracurricular activities. USADA is the stupidest thing to ever happen to an organized sport.
Yeah.
All they want is money. They're shady. They don't care. They're unethical. They're not consistent. Here's a fun fact. USADA also said that friend of mine, Grant Dawson, who's in the UFC, had an elevated level of a certain testosterone that was not in competition rate, right? So they said, we're going to investigate this. You are suspended until further notice. They held on to this sample for 14 months. And then after 14 months in which he could not compete in the UFC the way he makes a living, said, we're going to drop this. It's not sufficient, not enough evidence here to go forward with the case. So Grant Dawson, 24 years old, in the prime of his life, just signed to the UFC, could not compete for 14 months because USADA goes, it's been a little bit too long. We got other things to do.
Whoops.
And then now all of a sudden, a missing sample from USADA about Brock Lesnar, the only one, right? Not dad bod Daniel Cormier, not stick boy Max Holloway, who Max Holloway's a G. I'm just saying, he doesn't look the part of a steroid abuser is what I'm getting at.
Right.
All of these things, those people, all the tests show up. The silverback gorilla who has needles coming out of his forehead, all of a sudden we've lost that one. Just like going into UFC 200, we had this exemption policy because it was a little bit too close to fight date to have him do the required testing. How funny how that works. And then he failed. You knew about it. You don't release it. You let him fight, and then you tell him about it. And then he goes, well, I'm retired. And then you say, okay, well, then I guess we won't test you anymore. And he goes, hey, I'm back. And then you go, okay, well, I guess we'll test you. And then you miss a sample. Fuck you, USADA. You guys can suck a cactus. You suck, asshole.
You guys can suck a cactus.
Yeah, that's the name of that.
Suck a cactus might be the name of the episode.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. And I hope, you know what, Brock Lesnar, because I know you're listening, you mountain man bullshit.
No, oh, he
you
listens.
Are number one bullshit.
Yeah, look,
you are,
man,
number
I know
one bullshit.
I know you call yourself GBL on Twitter, Brock.
I
get it.
But guess what? Take all the steroids. I hope you have a fucking crater in your asshole from all the times you stuck a needle in there, right? Because guess what? It's not going to fucking matter. I'm just saying this. You do all you want with all the damn steroids and elevated testosterone and TRT and blah, 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 blah. Daniel Cormier is going to fuck you up. Because you punch as if you've never punched before.
I think
you punch like you're afraid to get hit. You dumb shit. Oh, you're going to get fucked up. You are going to get so fucked up. And why are you famous? Why are you famous? Because you look like a silverback gorilla, you got a penis tattooed on your chest, and you fucking act like a weirdo? Fuck you. Fuck you, Brock Lesnar. You are a piece of shit. You're a selfish jerk who only thinks about themselves and gets off scot-free on all of these things because you look and act incredible. You're like, your athleticism is off the charts. I'm not taking away from what you can do athletically, but you as a person, you suck a cactus. Oh, you can suck a cactus. And guess what? Dad bod, the daddest man of the year, the daddest man in the planet, he is going to whip your ass, you piece of shit. I hope you slap your knees and call yourself Jed, because you are going to get your fucking ass kicked. You piece of shit.
What? Wait a minute.
I can't stand him. Fuck Brock Lesnar.
Slap your knees and call yourself Jed?
I don't know where that came from.
Is an insult?
Yeah.
You gave it to somebody. You know you're upset when you tell somebody that you hope they slap their own knee and call themselves Jed.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I freestyle and, you know, they're not all home runs. I'm just saying, fuck Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, all right, man. Well, Tom's mad that Brock Lesnar is famous. What else is in the news?
So another famous person, on a lighter note, John Cena receives the Sports Illustrated Muhammad Ali Legacy Award. And he calls it a big night for the WWE. So he's still playing that company man role. Good for him. So, John Cena received the 2018 Sports Illustrated Muhammad Ali Legacy Award for his leadership as a philanthropist. So that's a fun one. Say that one 10 times quick.
Among other things.
All right. So the award was created in 2008. Other people who have received the Ali Award: Bill Russell, Colin Kaepernick, Jack Nicholson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jim Brown, Magic Johnson.
You've seen the first white guy? Who else did you?
Well, no, Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, right. There you go.
Or Jack Nicholas. Jack Nicholas. Jack Nicholson's the
right,
actor.
Right, of course he's an
Anyhow,
actor. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cena received the award because of his over 600 make-a-wishes that he has granted and for his work on breast cancer awareness. So credit to him. And again, he, in a speech, which I will not go verbatim on, essentially paraphrasing, he played that company line saying, you know, WWE, I'm not the only one who does this. You know, take a look at all the other people who make wishes, you know, grant them and do all the work that I'm doing. You know, I'm just thank you for recognizing that I'm doing it at this level, basically. But yeah, good for him, right? That's pretty good.
I think I'd really like to watch Jack Nicholson accepting an ESPN award or Sports Illustrated.
Best Laker fan?
Right. Yeah, whatever it is. Laker right. Yeah. Whatever. Fan. Some kind of sports award and love to catch that. Right. Yeah. He's out there like chatting up LeBron on the Lakers, giving his like speech out there.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah. Good for Cena. Good. He's a good guy.
Right. And the quote that he walked away with is, this is part of us. This is for all of us. And that's what he was talking about with WWE. So good for him with his weird haircut and all the veins from really his steroid abuse that it's catching up to him.
Yeah. Hey,
and you're single.
Yeah.
Good luck getting a wife with that look.
Yeah, I don't think that he's worried about getting a wife, honestly. He's probably like, all right, I'm losing sleep at night.
Cool. When he's 60, he's going to sleep alone and hate himself.
That's true, too.
So take a bath in your tears.
Yeah, why are you famous? No, right.
Why are you famous? I'm serious about Brock Lesnar. Why is he famous? There's nothing redeeming about him.
Yeah.
It's just the man crush that Vince McMahon had and then now transferred to Dana White. It's just man crushes by people who probably secretly want to fuck him.
Because look at this. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if Ross McMahon hadn't located this guy, he would have went back to farming or construction work or something up there in the Dakotas, tried out for an NFL team and got cut, and would have been nothing. Would have been that weird fucking guy down the street that probably fucks his sheep. Like, I don't fucking know if she in the Dakotas or Montana or whatever he's from. I don't know. Like, he would not be famous if it weren't for them going like, look at that guy.
Yeah, I want to touch his back. I want to touch his back.
Let's get a tattoo on that chest.
Yeah, let's get a tattoo on that chest. You see that tattoo on his back? Oh, I love it.
Yeah, just weird.
Fuck Brock Lesnar. Now, his matches are fun, but fuck him.
Yeah, he's provided some awesome moments.
Oh, he's provided some great wrestling.
Yeah.
And he deserves a spot. But fuck him.
But why are you famous?
Why are you famous? You're not even a good trash talker. No one even really knows what your voice sounds like. And your teeth look like a picket fence. You fucking piece of shit.
All right. Speaking of why are you famous, Bray Wyatt took the WWE Universe back this weekend after wiping out his entire Twitter feed and revealing one cryptic message. Tom, this being read to you direct from WWE.com. In two short and shadowy sentences, the Eater of Worlds, who is no stranger to unexpectedness, purged his entire Twitter feed and left one puzzling note that signals an imminent change. A tweet read, "Today I am someone different. Today I have finally become who I really am." While mysteriousness is usually part of Wyatt's tool belt, the message does pose many questions. What could this dispatch mean for Wyatt's future? How will this impact the Raw brand? When should we expect this different Wyatt to emerge? So they're all in. We're getting a at least altered Bray Wyatt gimmick, right?
Here it is. Watch this. You want me to write it for you? I'll give you the storyline.
The new Funkosaurus?
Well, no, even better.
Because remember that was he was like acting like it was going to be this like monster, and he comes out
monster,
dancing.
And he's like, somebody call
the
mama.
Funkosaurus. Like, the fuck?
No, I think this is the way they go. This is the way they go.
All right, okay.
So you have Luke Harper and Eric Rowan coming back. They're taking on the New Day. New Day gets the upper hand. It's 3-on-2. New Day in a little bit of a heelish role, putting the boots to Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Lights go out. Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Comes out on a bike.
And Bray Wyatt comes out on a fucking motorcycle.
But like a less cool motorcycle than the Undertaker had, right? Like a Kawasaki.
Like those roadsters that your like grandparents get after
they
retire.
Yeah, it's got a sidecar, but nobody's in it. Just the lantern. Like his old lantern and hat are in that, like are in the sidecar, just in case.
There it is. We got the Biker Bray Wyatt.
Biker Bray. I like it.
Biker Bray.
I like this. This could be good. Yeah, he's got a crotch rocket instead of like he's got a fucking, right? Like a fucking yellow Kawasaki.
I like the idea of the roadster. I like the idea of the wide roadster that has like comfortable seats. I like the motorcycles that have the radio. You know, like when you pull up to the red light and you hear a radio.
Can he have the handlebars that are like way above your head and you sit like you're fucking parachuting out of
an
airplane?
No, that's uncomfortable. He's too old for it. Yeah, no, he's got to have it right next to him.
Is there something? Can somebody who fucking care about motorcycles explain that one to me? Where you look like you just jumped out of a fucking airplane and you got to ride across country on that? Is that a thing?
It looks stupid. I don't know.
Is that a thing? Why are you doing that?
You want to hear another hot take?
All right.
I hate Harleys.
Yeah. I've never been a fan.
You know why?
Hmm.
They're slow and they sound like constipation. Next time you have constipation, think of a Harley. And guess what? Same noise.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just never got it because everybody's like, look at my motorcycle. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, it's a Harley. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, they're like, it's the best. And I'm like, all right. I mean, like, there's other motorcycles over there that look pretty goddamn similar. You know what I mean? I'm like, I know, like, guys, I get your motorcycle guys, but like.
Well, so my stepdad for his entire life always had a motorcycle, but he had the fast ones. Like the last motorcycle he had was a Hayabusa 1300cc.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's let's get Bray Wyatt out on that. And he's Biker Bray, but it's that, right? Just to fuck
That'd
with
cool.
him, right? Like he's got a yellow Kawasaki, and he's fucking like, down to the fucking, down the ring, right? Why not?
Yep.
What the fuck else is he going to do?
But I think it's going to be Biker Bray. That's what I'm guessing.
That's not literally what you think. What do you literally think this could possibly be?
Okay. Then you know what they're going to go with, I think? Raven. I think they're going to do... PG Raven.
Which is an arguably better move, though, because there was no direction for his character, right? He came in with a great character. I'll give it, like, it had complexities. He had a unique thing going on. Nobody else was doing what he was doing. But it had no direction or storyline. It had nothing. So if you're going to bring him and do something here, don't do it if you're not going to have a direction and a storyline. If you don't have a, like, an icy title run planned for this, don't give it to me. Like, what is it?
Or
like,
a feud or a rival.
Or at least a feud or something that, like, would take that spot on the card, right? That, like, what are we going to call it? The third to last match because the piss
the
match is between.
The featured bout. Yeah.
Right. Right? Right under the main event, right? If you're not going to get to that level or at least near it, because you have something specifically in mind for this character, then why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And that goes for any character, but.
Well, yeah. We'll see how this goes. I think the potential is gone. I think the, how's the phrase go? The rose is off the bloom or something like that.
Train has left the station.
Train has left the station. All the fun phrases.
Hey, you know what they say? No cop, no stop. You got to put your pants on one leg at a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Right. Don't walk under a bridge, right, with 7 years bad luck, something like that. So, yeah, you know, it's
but I think, yeah, I think if we're being serious here just for a quick moment, I think they're going to go a little like the PG version of Raven where it's I'm disconnected from this universe. This universe is not to my standard, it's beneath me. I'm here to release my rage that I have built up against the baby faces who are, you know,
I like this. This is perfect. This is perfect, right? Bray Wyatt does that, but he says it's because this company has wronged us, right? They've forced us to go out there and dance like carnival workers for them, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes and he gets... he goes in and gets Heath Slater, who's now working as a referee, right? And he's like, look at you. They made you, you know what I mean? Like, get whatever. And he does
and
that Raven's
flock
thing. Right, but he gets the people who have these shitty, dumb, nothing things going on. He goes and finds No Way Jose. He goes and he finds, right? Like, he goes and finds these people. And then that's the you know what I mean, his crew. Yes, I could get behind that, especially if you had something that it played to, some sort of payoff.
Yeah.
Don't bring it to me if you
Baron
don't.
Corbin.
Yeah. Don't bring it to me if you don't because you're wasting my time and his time and your time. He's better off in New Japan or ROH or Journey Pro Wrestling or whatever, right?
Fill in the blank. Yep.
Right. Fill in the blank. So I don't know. Is that all the news? Is that it?
Yeah. You ready to take a quick break and then get into our thoughts about the wrestling week that was?
So ready for
it. And then we're going to get in our third segment, the picks for the underwhelming TLC.
The picks. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Let's take a quick break. We will come back and we're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown when we come back to the Spanish announce table.
Fun fact, Randy Orton emerged as a sole survivor three times at Survivor Series, a record only matched by... The Ultimate Warrior.
The Spanish announce table.
All right, Tom. Monday Night Raw. Not doing so hot lately from a anything perspective, ratings, response. Last week's Raw rated as the lowest Raw ever. Technically, there was one that had lower ratings, but they kind of throw that off because it really was like on or near a holiday that was also up against like a major thing on TV. So if you threw that one off, they haven't had a program on Monday night that low rated since primetime wrestling. There's positives to be found. We like to do that now and we will discuss those, but they've got to figure something out.
I agree. However, I will say I agree. It feels like, you know, obviously the Universal title is held hostage because Brock Lesnar, why is he famous?
Yeah, why? Why?
But the show, let's just assume the Universal title doesn't exist, right? Let's just live in a world where the Universal title doesn't exist. I do like the last 2 weeks. It feels to me as a viewer that the focus and someone who they say is important and is the most important person on the roster is Seth Rollins. I feel like the promo he did Monday night where he said Monday Night Raw sucked and it's because of you, Baron Corbin, which is weird because it felt like Vince McMahon is acknowledging that he's sucking and he's using Baron Corbin as a surrogate to say that Raw is sucking, right? It's weird. I mean, think about writing that, right? Like, no, this product does suck. Well, I'm going to say that, but I'm going to have him say it to him. Anyway, but I feel like they're positioning Seth Rollins to be the man, not Becky Lynch, but the man on Raw. And to me, back in 2015, now he was a heel then, that was awesome, right? When you had the authority with the golden boy of Seth Rollins going up against Sting and Dean Ambrose and all of these guys where, you know, he's almost playing chicken shit heel, but like running with the title thing.
I was trying to convince people back then that hadn't watched wrestling in a while to watch wrestling again specifically for the reason of Seth Rollins.
Right. And now you can say with his tenure, his experience, the clout he's built up with matches against Miz, Dean Ambrose, things like that, you can position him as a babyface and say, this is our guy. And I feel like, even though, like you said, the ratings have been dreadful, the one positive I will take away from Raw is it feels to me as if they're saying Seth Rollins is our guy. And to me, thank God, right? Because there's plenty of other options. They could have said Dean Ambrose. They could have said Baron Corbin. They could have said Elias, right? They could have picked a number of people, but it seems like they picked Seth Rollins. And that, again, to me, is the best option. And so kudos to them. Now we'll see when when Braun Strowman comes back if Seth Rollins gets second fiddle. But right now it feels like Seth Rollins is the man, and I love that.
All right. Yeah, and I kind of agree with all that. I think he's, like we said, if you want to give somebody the ball, he's proven before that you can give him the ball and you're going to do damn well with it, right? For a football analogy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other big baby face, which it felt like, you know, midsummer, late summer-ish, when Braun Strowman was getting everyone to throw their hands up in the air and go, "Roar!" with him, like, that's your fucking guy. However, you need someone who can talk on the radio shows in the morning and the Good Morning Americas and the Today shows and all that bullshit. And Seth Rollins is your guy for that. We obviously know if you've listened to the podcast, he's been on this podcast. Yeah. He did a great interview.
Well, there's two angles with that. I think Seth Rollins is much more polished, but he can also come across much more robotic and corporate with it, right? Like, I've seen some videos where he's like, yeah, man, he just spits off the venue name, the city name, the what, and I'm like, all right, man,
right.
Practice this on the limo right over or whatever.
And
like
you,
I get
and
it,
you
man.
Need that, right?
Like, yeah, and you need
we
that.
We live in the time where branding is number one, and if he can say your branding comment as a business, and again, we're not trying to speak from that aspect, but it is something that we just can't not acknowledge.
Yeah, but that's what kind of sucks because the much more entertaining interview than in that format is probably Braun Strowman because he's going to talk about what the hell he had for dinner that night and they're going to laugh and joke and it's not going to be like Seth Rollins worried about the redheaded lady giving him the eyeball in the corner. Yeah. Well, not the that we've been there before. lady, if you're listening, and I know you are, man, you don't like us.
I will say this though, from a storyline perspective, Seth Rollins, for me as the viewer, can give me more stories than Braun Strowman. Because to me, Braun Strowman can give you two stories. Now they can be awesome, but essentially they're two stories. I'm a monster on a rampage, and everyone's going to get these hands, or I'm a monster being taken advantage of, and 100 people are trying to take me down, and I've got to, you know, burst out of this.
You're right.
The situation.
Yeah.
And those are great, right? Like, those are awesome. However, kind of like the Daniel Bryan story, what you talked about, like, once the yes movement's over, I need something else, right?
And it's got to go
I don't think
wildly
Braun
different.
Strowman, right. And I don't think Braun Strowman can give you something else, whereas Seth Rollins can be the chicken shit. Seth Rollins can be the most athletic. Seth Rollins can be the Iron Man. Seth Rollins can be corporate,
well, that's it.
Can be
yeah.
anti-corporate, all
Seth
the
Rollins,
stuff. So,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so he has a more robust storyline capabilities, and that's why, as a viewer, I want Seth Rollins to be quote unquote the man.
And that's it. Yeah, he's been doing this much longer. He's been a fan much longer. Not that Braun Strowman isn't. He's seemingly taken this and loves it. But yes, he's not there, at least not yet. By all accounts, he could be. He's made vast improvements in the time he's been here, but he's not that yet. So you're right. Absolutely the best face to use as a tool for your company in there right now as WWE would be Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and going a little bit more with the Braun Strowman character, honestly, to me, the best big man as far as different storylines that almost makes you forget about who they are, I think the best person to ever do that is not Diesel, but Kevin Nash in WCW. When he did the NWO thing, there were so many different times where, yeah, he was 7 foot tall and he was a big, giant guy, but it felt like he could give you storylines of like he's shooting here or, you know, he's coming from underneath or, you know, all of this
Kane
different stuff.
Is another one. Wildly diverse over the years. I mean, like, he got into some different. So even though he still had that same aspect of his character being mysterious and dark and demonic. Yeah.
But Kevin Nash just always came across as he's the cool guy, not the monster guy, even though he's 7 foot, just like, you know, Big Show
he
and
was
blah, 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 blah,
the
blah.
Cool guy who could always back it up just by his sheer size and strength, right? Like,
but the number one thing about him was he was cool.
Well,
he was
cool,
an outsider.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't make his strength his identity. All right. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, back to Raw. Hey, all right. New tag champs. Gable and Rude taking over AOP. I'm okay with something like that because, A, we want a thriving tag team division. You want to bounce that title around. But here's where I'd rather see something like this, right? I'd rather see, as long as in this feud, AOP eventually wins, because we haven't sufficiently built the AOP yet. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to flounder the title back and forth because the feud's not done, cool. That adds credence to Gable and Rude. Obviously, they're one-time tag champs or whatever, that, right? If they won it before, they won SmackDown or something?
No.
I don't remember. No,
Gable is a Grand Slam tag team champion, winning it on NXT, SmackDown, and now Raw.
Right. So there you go. So if they eventually give back to AOP here and then AOP moves on to another people, I'd much prefer that and would say that's the way they should have went. If this is just now Gable and Rude because they're turning away from AOP, this is a giant misstep. And so I don't know where we're at, and time will tell. But, you know, did you have any specifics about this particular segment? Or
I like that it gave me a quick pop, right? Like, oh, wow. I didn't jump out of my seat. I didn't clap. I didn't tweet that this was awesome, yada, yada, yada. I just said, oh, that was entertaining. That was different. Now, I don't have confidence going forward, just like you said, if they just turn away from AOP as the viewer, I say, no. I want more domination and fear from the tag team division as AOP is the, you know, reigning champs of that division. But for the night, I thought it was fine.
Yeah. All right. What'd you think about the Riot Squad now? They're bringing out a picture of old Jim. They're leaning into it. Any better? Nothing?
I don't mind the leaning into it, right? The leaning into it is good. The execution just misses.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't feel genuine, first
off. Yeah, it doesn't feel like Ruby Riott's actually this person.
Yeah, fish face Ruby Riott doesn't feel like she really hates Natty. She has a fish face.
Just
I don't care. You
swimming.
Look at her.
Just keep swimming. Yeah.
That is Dora the Explorer, if I've ever seen it in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Dory, whatever.
Dory.
I don't fucking know any of the. Anyhow, she has a fish face. But I don't feel like.
We have foot face and fish face.
Yeah.
Can we get the match of the century? Madison Rayne, Ruby Riott, foot face.
Let's do it.
Fish face.
Fish face. One face has to go.
One face. Yes.
So
the face off.
I like that they're leaning.
It's the face off.
Face off. Love that idea. I just don't feel like this is genuine. And this goes a little bit to my beef with Twitter, where, you know, you tell me that these girls hate each other, but then on Twitter I see Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss and blah 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 taking pictures, doing carpool karaoke and da 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 da. So I know they fucking don't like or that they don't hate each other. Now, when Becky Lynch goes on fire tweets on Charlotte, I think, well, maybe something happened to that relationship, right? When Becky Lynch is like, hey, they're saying I was out for a month because of a concussion. Charlotte was out a month because of her boobs. And I was like, God damn, that's a real burn, right? And all the shit she was saying on Ronda Rousey, I was like, man, maybe she really doesn't like her. But with this, going back to Ruby Riott and Natty, it just feels like, okay, on paper, that's great. On execution, that is a dud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just not – I'm just not feeling it. Like
it's like a Nia Jax promo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a Nia joke. It's a Nia Jax promo in the sense of, if I write this down as the author, I know that this is fire, that this is awesome. And then I give it to the talent, and it's like a turd in a punch bowl, and you go, well, that shit is fucking floating. Yeah. Like, this is not good. And so, same thing here.
All right, so we had another, we're going to get a full-on feud with Ziggler and McIntyre out of, you know, the things from the prior week. And I like it. I like it where they did this here, right? McIntyre gets nothing but the upper hand and gets to leave laughing, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I only want to talk about how I view this as the viewer, not backstage. I don't give a shit about who's getting pushed and blah, 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 and injuries and all that shit. Just as the viewer. Can we pick something with Drew McIntyre? So at one time he's monster hunting, going after Braun Strowman. Mm-hmm. Or first off, he forms with Braun Strowman, the Gods of War or whatever, against the Shield, right? And for real circumstances, that has to go away. Oh, I'm okay with it, right? But then again, as a viewer, he says, I'm going monster hunting against Braun Strowman. Okay. And then all of a sudden, no, now he's friends with Bobby Lashley and Baron Corbin. Okay, I'll still stick with you here. No, now he's not really friends with them. He just doesn't like his old friend that he was with the Gods of War. What? It's just like, can we pick something for this guy? Because we're doing about 20% with 10 storylines.
Can we get Drew McIntyre a Snickers? Because he's clearly, right? He's just angry. He's hangry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's just angry. Give him a Snickers and it'll be all fine.
Drew McIntyre is clearly hangry. You know, and that's, you know, I get it. I've been there, man. You get hangry, you just, everything upsets you. The slightest annoyance, and you're like, you know what, Steve? I know you normally shuffle your papers this way, but it just, God damn it, I'm done. Done. It's time to fucking yell at you now.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what we're seeing. But that's what I feel like we're seeing with Drew McIntyre, where it's like, he doesn't like Braun. Ah, okay, now he's on to, he doesn't like Elias. Okay, now he's on to, he doesn't like Finn. Okay, now he's on to, he doesn't like Dolph. What? Who do we not? Are you fighting everyone, man? Like, if you're fighting everyone, well, then interrupt some matches and go on a tear. But if you're not, fucking pick someone. Yeah. You know, this is dancing partners here. I want to see a story.
Yeah, speaking of wanting to see a story instead of some of this, Bayley versus Alicia Fox.
Who cares? Next. Move on.
Dean Ambrose, huh, in the back. What'd you think of that? Backstage Charlie Caruso segment.
You know, it's fine. Sure.
Next, huh?
Yeah.
We had another Elias segment, obviously, right? Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush. I can't get enough of those guys.
I like Bobby Lashley, and I like really like Leo Rush. You know where I feel like they would fit better? Mm. I feel like we should do a quick trade or superstar shakeup or whatever you say.
Yeah,
I want, and even though I'm going to contradict myself a little bit here with what I said about Seth Rollins, but I feel like it would be really cool if you traded AJ for Seth Rollins, those two switch brands, right? And then Raw can be the face or the place that AJ Styles built, and Seth Rollins can have some fun feuds with Daniel Bryan and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then I want Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley to go to SmackDown. I feel like, obviously, if you listen to the show more than a week, you know that I think SmackDown is just killing it on all levels. And I just think that character could either be turned up or slightly changed just a tad to where I'm 100% all in. But I think like a New Day and Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush storyline would be perfect. Mm-hmm. And let's get Leo Rush as a tag team partner. Like, let's get Bobby Lashley past this Elias thing, right? AOP goes into the heels. Let's turn Lio Rush and Bobby Lashley back to being babyfaces and have them as a tag team go up against AOP. Or, again, throw them over to SmackDown and have them go up against New Day, and then you can do that pseudo face-face thing.
Well, and we got our Heath Slater referee debut.
I like it. I'm into this storyline. Like I said, I love that Seth Rollins is our hopefully face of the brand, but my favorite storyline on Raw is what are we doing with Heath Slater in the main event? I mean, he does this, the spot here, right? Where Bobby Lashley makes him count, but let's fast forward to the main event where Seth Rollins is about to win the match. And Heath Slater's like, man, you know what I have to do. And then Seth Rollins is like, yeah, and you know what I got to do? Kick you in the face. Way out. And then
you right in the face. It. Yeah. All right. Okay. Your favorite, Nia Jax. What do you think of that? The Alexa Bliss press conference with Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey.
I hate it.
I typically hate these, period, but this especially.
This is so, and then when she's doing a promo staring at her fist, obviously just trying to remember her lines, she's trying to be intimidating, showing you like this fist does damage.
But she's also written her lines on her fist. It's perfect. It's a perfect thing for them, right? It worked out well. It's like, hey, look, you can't remember lines. We're going to have to write them on her hand. So we need Becky to take the fall. Becky got to take over the team, take a punch to the face. And then, you know, that way she can start staring at her fist and she'll write her lines. Right there in her fist.
See? Yeah. Hey, Nia Jax.
That's how cool Becky Lynch is. She volunteered to take that.
Yeah. Hey, Nia Jax, we're going to have you take a page from your cousin, The Rock, and you're going to start writing your lines on your wrist. Remember that when John Cena called out The Rock on that? That's one of the greatest burns of all time. Okay. But yeah, it sucks. And Tamina, just not the person, okay? Everyone, just take a step back. Not the person, the character. Is what I'm about to say here. But Tamina, jump off a fucking bridge. No one wants to see you anymore. You fucking suck. You're a horrible wrestler. Your matches are clunky. Your promos are fucking worse. And you serve no purpose except for taking up space. Seriously, I'd rather have more space on the television than your body. Just go away. Just jump off of a bridge. You are very bad at being on WWE programming.
You suck a cactus. All right, we
have, go suck a cactus.
Speaking of, she had a match with Ember Moon, you know, so yeah, I'll pass.
Ember Moon, I feel like I really want to like. I love her entrance song, the ba-da-da-da-ba-ba-ba. I like that, and her finisher is fucking awesome. Like, it's the coolest women's finisher in WWE, I think.
Yeah, right.
But I don't. Again. What is Ember Moon? Is she an undead wizard? Is she some type of, like, tell me what she is? Because all I see is like a Hot Topic employee that escaped and is now wrestling matches with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, like I feel like they're going for the neckbeards here. That they're trying to like maybe get the neckbeard's favorite girl, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, she likes dragons and video games.
Right.
Yeah, right?
But tell me what she... I don't know anything about her except for she debuted as Nia Jax's friend. Nia Jax turned on her, and now she's friends with Ronda. That's the whole story of Ember Moon so far on Raw.
It feels like you needed somebody to do the first couple matches of your house shows on the loop, and you called up Ember Moon for that.
Yeah, but man, I think she has it, right? The entrance song can get you a big star, just like Nakamura, right? So I think she has the entrance music. She's got the fucking finisher. That jumping off Stone Cold Stunner or whatever the fuck is called, Total Eclipse of the Heart or whatever, I fucking love it. And her matches aren't clunky like Tamina or Natty, so she can put on a decent match with almost everyone, it seems like. So... let me invest in who this character is. Why does she look weird? Why does she come out walking all like, you know, she walks out like Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses, you know, like swiveling those hips and stuff. And then she comes in the ring all cool, jumping on in and stuff. But what is it?
Yeah. We don't know. Well, and then we got the main event, the TLC match for the Intercontinental title, which I get you guys are having ratings issues and you're trying to like spruce up the show, but... you can't give us a TLC match when you're getting ready to go into TLC. Like,
doesn't make sense,
guys. What am I supposed to be paying $10 a month for?
And can we just quickly talk about the finish? So it's a no disqualification match. Obviously, you know, as the actions from Heath Slater showed, Heath Slater is also trying to let Baron Corbin win this match, you know? So Dean Ambrose, you just do nothing until after he wins, and then you just go like, I'm going to stare at you. Like, what? You could have beat him up. You could have cost him his title. You could have caused him pain.
Could have kicked him in the dick.
Know, right. But the stare down is great if there's never been physical altercation, right? Like the best stare down, and again, I'm a ECW whatever, say all the shit you want on Tweet the Table, but when Taz and Sabu finally ended up in the ring together and they go darting towards each other and the lights go out, you go, holy shit, they're about to fight, right? Like, I can't wait. But when they've had, in this case, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, 200 fucking matches since 2015 and pseudo kind of okay storylines, well, when you just have them stare at each other, well, who the fuck cares?
Nobody cares.
Do something.
Right, do something. So that's essentially Raw. I mean, you know, unless you got any final, like, yeah, I'm sure you got a wrap-up thought, but it's kind of been an overarching theme since we started.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're on the right path with certain people being positioned as good storylines, right? Seth Rollins, I think, is really good. Heath Slater is a very interesting story. Does he end up embracing this heel referee? Do we get like a Nick Patrick NWO kind of thing? Or does he become like Little Nate and he shaves his head and becomes like Little Corbin or something? Like you said, the tag team titles. It changed hands. That's cool. What's next? Hopefully something good. Probably not, but it was something. So there was some good positives there. But let's hide the negatives and basically let's just hide fish face and fat hands there and just whoop, get them fucking
fish
off
face
TV.
And fat hands would be a great tag team name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And fucking Tamina jump off a cliff. God.
It's like a cactus.
Again.
Figuratively.
Asterisk.
Jump off a cliff.
Figuratively and the character. Whatever Tamina's real name is, I bet she's a very fine person.
Yes.
Talking.
We want you to remain healthy and happy.
Yes.
And get all of your dreams realized.
I Tamina.
Right. Yeah. Sports hate. All right. We had Daniel Bryan coming out to start SmackDown. He had his promo. It led into a match with Mustafa Ali that's gaining a lot of buzz.
Yeah. I feel like Mustafa Ali is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. I think his matches are cool. I kind of don't like his Twitter when he shows me all the fun moves because it's like, this doesn't look like fighting. This just looks like Cirque du Soleil. Anyhow. Mm-hmm. I think his athleticism, I think he's likable. I think he's everything that Cedric Alexander should be, right? Cedric Alexander looks the part and can do all the moves. But just like Enzo said, he's the man that charisma forgot. There's fucking nothing there with Cedric Alexander. He is just fast forward. Let me get a viral move in here, and that's it. With Mustafa Ali, the fun little DJ Z, this light strobe thing. Again, tell me what the fuck he is, but I think there's something there. I think he has something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This. Some. I think he has
some. Okay, New Day, The Bar, here we are, still again.
But it's a rap battle.
Still slash again? Yeah, we haven't had those yet in this, like, Usos, New Day, The Bar.
Well, you know what needs
Bludgeon
to happen.
Brothers. Like, we only got four tag teams? What the fuck is going on here?
Well, that's true. That's why I said, let's make some. Well, on Raw, we don't really have tag teams either. We've got AOP and then makeshift Gable and Rude.
Yeah, a rehash of the same storyline they keep trying to plug Gable into for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
God damn it, guys. All right, anyway.
This is the one thing I want them to do with the rap battle. Mm-hmm. This is the last thing that WWE needs to do. Because you know they got to get the rap god in.
Yeah.
And you know who the rap god is, right?
Bo Ryder.
Yes! Right? Yes. So you have, this is what they should do. Let's position
Bo
this match.
Bo Ryder.
That's what I'm saying. But here you go. This is how you should do it. Let's get through this, right, Usos thing, and let's just fucking play musical chairs. And now it's the Bar and New Day, and then the Usos are the moderator, right? So then they're doing it, but it's 3-on-2, right? So New Day does their battle rap, and they fucking do fine, right? And it's cool. And then the Bar, the Ice Shamey thing was cute. It was cool. It was fine, right? It's cute. I liked it. Fine. But let's just fast forward to this 3-on-2. So New Day does their part, and then the Bar starts out, and they're like, you know what we're missing? Like, the Bar of all time. And the lights go out, and then Bo Ryder comes out, and then Bo Ryder just kills the New Day and the Usos verbally. That's who we need.
Bo
Ryder, the rap god. And I hope he does that. Make it Vanilla Ice or John Cena Thuganomics. Let's go with Bo Ryder as the white... You know, white
Why
boy
wouldn't
famous.
You at least try? Are you worried about losing all of like that sweet Bo Dallas merch you've been selling?
The B-team stuff,
or,
yeah.
Or are you worried that he might actually become the next John Cena?
Yeah.
Or like, why wouldn't you just at least try this? Everybody would love it. Or they would hate it and we would know to just get rid of Bo Dallas.
No, I think we need to make him into a battle rapper.
Yeah. Bo Battle.
He beat Flo Rida.
Bo Battles. That's what, you know what I mean?
Bo Battles. Yeah, Bo Battles. Battles right there.
Right?
Yo, yo, yo. It's Bo Battles. Battles. And have Curtis Axel be his hype man, right? Like, that's fine. You can still keep the B team.
Right.
But the B team is for bars.
The B is for bars. And Bo Battles, bitch. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Or B is for Busta, which is what you are, right? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You just go into it.
Yes.
God,
that's what I want. Yeah, that they need to do one more and reintroduce the rap god in WWE Universe, Bo Ryder.
All right. And then we get the best tag team in the world shaping up here, Shane McMahon and The Miz. This storyline's rolling along. What do you think of it so far?
I like the wrinkle after the fact, right? Where we find out that Miz paid the talent to kind of position Shane McMahon into doing what he did. Right. I like that, right? It's the, hey man, I know that we have something here and I'm going to force you to see it. That's cool. That's a good original story that I haven't seen, I guess, in a long time, if I ever have. So I like where they're going. Again, I think the long play, and this is just me guessing as the viewer who's watched wrestling since I was 3 years old, that Shane McMahon goes heel, Miz goes babyface, Daniel Bryan Miz at fill in the blank pay-per-view, WrestleMania.
All right, I like that. Mysterio, Orton.
Come on!
Still not care, yeah.
Here's the thing. We just talked about at the start of the show, Mustafa Ali and Daniel Bryan. And that match was really fun. And that match showed that, like, the 205 Live guys, even though, you know, they're circle jerking each other and no one's watching, they can wrestle with the best in the world, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, of that, you know, elite level. So let's do some fun shit here, and instead of circa 2005 Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio, let's put Randy Orton with Mustafa Ali. Let's put Cedric Alexander with Rey Mysterio. Let's fucking stop playing grab ass with people we're comfortable with and play some more new stories here.
Why isn't – so we've got Drake Maverick leading AOP, and that's a good thing, but let's say we didn't have Drake Maverick, right? They didn't sign him. He's injured, whatever. Mm-hmm. Why isn't Randy Orton the mentor to AOP to give them that sinister, like, evil – we're going to kill you mentality, yeah. Right? You know what I mean? You pair them either as a foe or with this younger talent because it's something, A, we haven't seen, so we're not going to be bored with it, and two, it only helps to aid your younger talent with some experience.
And the one thing that I really enjoyed with that first heel turn from Randy Orton when he attacked Jeff Hardy was he said, like, I was the legend killer, and now I'm here to something like take out your legends or things like that. Yeah, have him say, like, I'm the legend here, and you're not at my level. And have him just try to wipe out the young talent. Right there is at least something fun.
Yeah.
You know, you can play on the history of what Randy Orton is and what he is now. And then you could try to get over a new talent, which could be Mustafa Ali. You know Randy Orton and Mustafa Ali could have a good match.
Of course.
So let's fucking do that.
Can you imagine what kind of weird-ass RKO they would pull out of nowhere?
Yeah, exactly. And I just, because I mentally just check out when I say, like, seen it. Yeah. Seen it, and guess what? Actually, when Randy Orton told Rey Mysterio that Eddie Guerrero wasn't in heaven, he was in hell, that story is better than this thing.
It would be one thing if we've seen it, but you're bringing nothing new about it. Like, yeah. The words you're using are different, but it's nothing new.
Yeah, so let's stop playing circle jerk with people we're comfortable with, and let's get these fucking people with new talent.
Well, and then we had, you know, they just sandwiched two. We've talked about how we don't mind the blending of storylines because of the nature of what we're supposed to believe this is in wrestling. Mm-hmm. But this one doesn't make sense when they're just like, yeah, tag team. Jeff Hardy and Rusev versus Samoa Joe and Nakamura. It's like, well, these two storylines weren't interacting otherwise.
Yeah, and now we just that's a hallmark of WWE storyline where it's something just like the 10 count of punches in the corner that needs to go away. This like, hey, you and me, we're good guys or good girls or whatever we're calling it. We're baby faces. Let's beat up those heels and vice versa. So yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah.
But hey, guess what? We got to see Rusev and Nakamura on the fucking TV.
Right. That's true.
For as good as the Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Asuka storyline is being told, and even to a lesser extent because it just hasn't been given enough time to breathe, but I do think it's just as good of a story. Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles on the opposite end of the spectrum. Fucking what with the U.S. title? Just throw it away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just what are we doing? You have so much there. Remember when I just came up with that storyline with the Rusev Day and the Nakamericans and the whole, does Nakamericans recognize Rusev Day as a holiday? It's right there. And I'm stupid. I'm so stupid. Well, and I came up with that.
Like, I always attribute it. We call it like a Cirque du Soleil or a traveling thing like that. Like it's live theater. It's more akin to me. It's always felt like a live action comic book pro wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. You make that storyline. It's absurd. It's over the top, but that's what you've supposed to be, especially with WWE. That's been your hallmark. That's what they called the New York wrestling was. It's cartoonish. It's very character driven and over the top characters. And it's,
well, shit. And it couldn't be any worse than Drake Maverick pissing on a robe. Like, so let's do some things here, but you have two really, really good interesting and entertaining talents in Nakamura and Rusev, right? We still love Channing Rusev Day. Nakamura is fucking over with all the little, you know, neck beards that watch wrestling. But we're choosing just to go like, well, you guys like him, so we're just going to put in bare minimum effort.
There's the subtle nuanced difference that they don't seem to get. It's like, we complain that it's gimmicky and hokey and as far as like a wrestling or a particular match or storyline, it's gimmicky, hokey, the characters goofball or whatever. We don't like that. When we're talking about what we're supposed to be believing is our main event fight storyline, your undercard stuff, absolutely give me all of the circus play shit, right?
Because
that's the more entertaining stuff that I'm not like, oh man, who's going to win? Because that's more just like, oh man, I can't believe they said / did that. That's fun, right? That's all it has to be. Anyway. Exactly. All right, we got Asuka, Lynch, Flair, everybody swinging them sticks.
Yeah, I just don't get – okay, so I just don't get who's who.
Right. Yeah. Right? Who's the face, who's the heel? Maybe you don't even know, huh?
Right, because we got Becky Lynch, who is now just getting cheered out of every building, right? She is just the most over-talent WWE still.
No wrong.
In December, right? So she's now playing up the they don't want me as champ. So I'm going to guess that that's a baby face, right? Awesome. Yes. And I love that. Let's get it. Cool. And you could have a second baby face because Asuka earned her right fair and square in a battle royal to become champion. And, you know, she wants to be a champion just like anyone else. Okay, cool. So we've got baby face, I guess, Becky. Baby face Asuka. But then what the fuck is Charlotte? Because Charlotte's just going like, you guys or you girls are going to bow down to the queen. Okay, you have a track record. You're a 7-time champ or whatever it is. I can believe that you could beat these girls. You ended Asuka's streak at WrestleMania. You know, it's paper, rock, scissors between the three of you. But now at the end of the match with Asuka, you just grab a kendo stick and just fucking hit her.
Well, and here's the thing that I take issue with that is that here's another subtle nuance they're not getting, right? If Miz, when he's a heel, right, and he's in his suit and he's the Hollywood A-lister and he's, you know, like above you and he's conceited, if he's in a match and he might be losing it and he goes and grabs a kendo stick and he mercilessly, repeatedly just beats the shit out of the guy and gets a DQ, we hate that. We're like, boo, you weak, nothing, cheap, you suck, you couldn't win, so you went and did that. If Charlotte's walking around with the swagger, with a leather jacket, like, I'm going to kick everybody's ass and fuck you and you can't do nothing to me, she grabs a kendo stick and mercilessly beats somebody, we like that because it's cool and that's the attitude she's been wandering around. But we don't want that right now because we're already invested that into Becky Lynch. So now it feels like a copy and a play out. So you're right. What are you doing here? This character's not fitting.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I don't get what feeling they're trying to make me feel with her.
Right. The kendo stick beatdown is cool when the character feels like that's what they're supposed to do. Well, then I'm gonna like it because I like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you've gave me two of the same character, and this is the light version.
Yeah, and then going into the whole thing with Asuka, you just kept telling me, you know, Charlotte can beat Asuka. She ended the streak. Yeah. She can do it again. And then, nope, now she just second guesses herself and she chicken shits out. So that's a heel. But when she did it the first time around, like you said, with Ronda Rousey, well, that just felt like a carbon copy of Becky Lynch. And I guess it was cool because it was Raw versus SmackDown, but bleh. And now, yeah, I just, it's a cool story, yeah, in the sense of like what I told you, the paper, rock, scissors, right? Charlotte can beat Asuka. Asuka can beat Becky. Becky can beat Charlotte. And then, you know, fill in person can't beat that person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a cool story. But whatever we're saying just isn't translating.
I guess I don't know their full-on day-to-day process in this writing and creative, right? But it feels like there's less of everybody sitting down in a room and planning the show and the weeks and the months ahead versus a bunch of agents talking individually to a bunch of different performers and going, yeah, you could do that. Well, you guys got the 12th segment. Yeah, I don't think anybody's doing that in the other segments. Where's it go? Okay, yeah, we'll sign off on that. All right, cool. I've got enough to do, right? And then nobody's got a vision and a plan for the overall theme and the direction of the show, the storylines, the quarter, the month, the year, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's about, crap, guys, we got to finish today. We're 2 hours behind, and we've got to get back on the bus and get to St. Louis by tomorrow and do this shit again. Yeah. Somebody's got to get them ahead of schedule.
Right, and I totally understand because I saw on Twitter, to go kind of off on a quick tangent, I did see on Twitter Brian Alvarez, who's, you know, one of those dirt sheet guys or whatever, talked about the Raw rating and is like, this is embarrassing. And then Jimmy Jacobs was like, you know how fucking hard it is to write 3 hours of television every week? Yeah, well, and that is absurd. What I'm saying is that is absurd. There's not another television show that does that. Not right. Game of Thrones, not Breaking Bad, not,
or never really has.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy. No one has ever put 3 new hours of content each and every week. Now, in saying that,
and it's not just
maybe
three,
there's a fucking reason.
Too. Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And to a lesser extent, 2 hours of every week, right?
Yeah.
So maybe going into 2019, maybe we can take a look at why no one else is doing that.
And here's the deal. I know they banked a lot on a whole, like, do you know how much money they bring in on this third hour? Well, the next time these fucking contract negotiations roll around, if your fucking third hour is pulling in a 1.2, you ain't going to be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you better figure it out. Now, they're probably locked in due to whatever their recent contract negotiations are, right? But, man, Now that you have, I get when you went Raw to 3 hours, you didn't have the network. SmackDown wasn't as big of a deal. You didn't have all the other stuff, right? You didn't have the NXTs, all this jazz. Now you do.
Yeah.
Right? That third hour revenue cannot, and I won't believe, is such a major portion of your overall business that you can't plan around it and absorb that loss into some other profit-making thing.
Well, profit-making things in the sense of getting new viewers because of a better overall product.
Yeah, some of that will hedge itself out, right, because of that, yes.
Yeah.
But just, man, guys, they've got to figure something out. I don't know if you got anything else to list about SmackDown
before we bounce out.
We'll come back and do some TLC picks when we return to the Spanish Announce Table.
The Undertaker was the first ever person to win a singles match at the Survivor Series pay-per-view. Fun fact.
The Spanish Announce Table.
All right, Tom, TLC is this Sunday, and I'm excited. I spent a good amount of time going over this card because we like to do picks, right? I really want to break this down pretty thoroughly and know, you know, I really want to put heart into this one.
Well, I think what's kind of crazy is we're in agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have the same picks. I think this Sunday at TLC, prediction, every match, somebody will get hit with a prop.
Fun fact, Kurt Angle, The Rock, Undertaker, and Sting all made their debuts at Survivor Series.
The Spanish Announce Table.